we're going to look at some of the patriarchs in the book of Genesis. We only have a couple of days together, and so we're not going to get very far or very deep. But I thought families, and so let's check out some of these families in the Bible, and not that we're going to learn parenting principles or how to have a better marriage kind of thing. We're just going to look at some situations that some families were dealing with and what God did and what we can learn from that. And so that's what that's about. So if you want to go to page one and where it says your 2 cents, just cross that out. And we're going to go to Psalm 121. Look to the hills. Psalm 121. On the top of the chapter in many of our Bibles, you'll see a heading. That's not inspired, inerrant. It's just a little bit of a help by the editors. And Psalm 121 is titled, "My Help Comes from the Lord." And under that, you'll see a song of ascents. This song was likely birthed during the Babylonian exile. And so here are the Jews and this particular psalmist that may be many years of their lives, maybe their whole lives, in this Babylonian captivity. And there was this desire and longing for home. Israel, the promised land, whatever the borders were as they shifted and changed throughout history, but particularly Jerusalem, the city on the hill, and the place where God kind of centered their community, their nation, their worship, their sacrificial system, their feasts, that place where God met them in Jerusalem. And so very likely it was this psalmist that in captivity was really longing to be freed and make that long, difficult journey. And it would be very fearful, but to get finally back to Jerusalem, to get back to the place that God had called them. Likely, as all of the songs of ascents, and you'll see several in this section of the Psalms, many of the chapter headings will tell you song of ascents, song of ascents. Many of these, though this one was probably written during the Babylonian exile far away, they were carried over. And so for many years later, as the pilgrims, the Jews, would go from their scattered regions to Jerusalem, whether it was a Feast of Pentecost or Passover or Tabernacles, and God would say, it's time to come to Jerusalem, and it's time to worship and sacrifice, and by the hundreds of thousands, and some say even into the millions, they would journey during those particular feast weeks and calls to sacrifice and calls to worship. And as they would journey and they would make their trip to Jerusalem, along all the roads, of course, the farther scattered out you were, they'd be sparse, but the closer you came into Jerusalem and all the roads began to merge, you would have more and more of these pilgrims, and they would be singing these songs of ascent. They would be ascending to Jerusalem, and that was these songs of ascent, and it would just be a common thing then that they were familiar with these psalms, and they would, like we sing out of our hymnals, and a lot of times we may not need the hymnals to sing, we're familiar, and we'll just sing the song, and that's what these songs of ascent were, and they'd make their way to Jerusalem, and as they would draw near, you would hear the songs. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Verse 3, He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. And so you'd hear through the hillside and even late into the night the songs, lifting my eyes to the hills, and the choirs would join together. We sat at supper tonight. We met a family. I know Tim probably won't. We were campers. Stephen. Tim's somewhere else. But way back when. There you are. And so we met some of the family, which I never met before. And the girls were telling. We talked about where you're from. They said Buffalo area. And I asked when they got here, did they go swimming? We couldn't swim because we had a 7-hour drive. And how many are there? Five children, right? And mom and dad in one car, and they kind of rolled their eyes when they said it. And I said, so what do? I mean, you have a lot of fun when you travel like that, 7 hours in the car with seven of you, and it's great, right? And I said, do you fight a lot? And they said, not this time. I was fishing because I just wanted to feel normal. You know, do you have kids that fight when you're traveling to pilgrim camp? It should be just singing psalms. But they said this time was okay. I don't know if that's completely true, but pretty good. Okay, so they were good. And I said, well, what do you do to keep yourself busy and not fighting? They said, we listen to music. And I didn't ask what kind, but they basically said, we just plug our ears. And we know what that's like. We all have that. We drove up, just my wife and me, and I said, I've got to want to listen to a couple of things, and it may bore you. And so if you want to listen to music, that's fine. I'll pop my earplug in. And she said, no, just go ahead and do your thing. But I know that's what we do. And each kid has a device, and you plug it in, and now you're in your own little world, and you're listening to all your separate music and doing your own thing, but not here. They didn't have that when they were going to Jerusalem. So it's just one big choir and one accord and one mind and one heart as they approach Jerusalem. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. And so there's a couple things, and I'm going to wrap it up back where we started, but just a couple things here is the first thought is this longing. The author initially, maybe in a foreign land and in captivity, just wanted to go home. I want to be in the presence of my God, in the place of worship where he met us and we met him. It's not just we're homesick here, and it's not just we're being abused here. I know that would play into it, but they were so far removed from God. If you remember the beginning of the captivity, we read about that in Daniel's prophecy, and we're introduced right away to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the intention of Nebuchadnezzar and the leadership of the Babylonians. And what do they want to do? We want to indoctrinate you. We want to make you part of our culture. We want you to look like us and eat like us and talk like us and dress like us and think like us. And so they would put them through these schools really to indoctrinate them and take them from being Jewish to being Babylonian, which is why when we say Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if I would say, do you know what their real names were? Most of us don't know them. Some of you are good Bible students, and some people didn't even know they had other names. But these were their Babylonian names. These were trying to yank them from their Jewish roots. We don't even want your names to be Jewish, so we're going to rename you. And so that's what they did. And so this was a hardship. This was a challenge for, and these were teenagers likely, but from children to teens to adults who were dragged from their homeland and their families separated and many of them killed, and now they're in this foreign place, and it's not just the emotion of that, but it's also this separation from their God and this longing to go home. And the psalmist says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Out there is where I want to be. Now, I don't have time tonight, and it's not my purpose tonight, but some of you can make the spiritual application to this as well. because when we're talking about pilgrims, we know that's what we're called to be in this world, and this isn't our home, and we're looking to a heavenly city and a new Jerusalem. And when we lift up our eyes to the hills, we're envisioning this heavenly place. And so there's a lot of the spiritual comparisons here, but this is very specifically, I just want to be back in Jerusalem where I know my God dwells, where I know we worship and we bring our sacrifice and we come before the Lord of creation, the one who made heaven and earth, and there's this longing to just be there. And so this was the cry, a longing heart, and there's also a recognition of weakness. Where does my help come from? We're not reading too much. Most agree that there's kind of a shift here. It's sort of like, what's your flow of thought? I want to go to Jerusalem. I want to get out of here. I want to be there. But in that process, just in that, right after the period and the capital F in our English language, in there is this whole big idea that I'm here, I want to be there, but between here and there is trouble. So just in that little pause, it's like I've got to live life between here and there. And how many of us know that living life between here and there is really hard?
Yes.
And there's a lot of trouble, and there's a lot of challenge, and there's a lot of danger. And this is not just spiritually speaking, but for them, whether it's we're going from Babylon back to the promised land, to Canaan, or whether it's we're years later and we're just scattered abroad and we're making our journey back to Jerusalem for the feasts or for the sacrifices. Even in that time where they're freed and they're out of captivity and they're back in their homeland, even there, just making a trip was dangerous. And so whether it was trouble from the robbers and the thieves, whether it be from wild beasts, whether it be from just the danger of the terrain, whatever the trouble was, this was not just hop in the car, plug in your headphones, drive to McDonald's, and get on the highway. This was a rough journey. And for me to get to the hills, God, I need help. Where will my help come from? I am weak, I am needy, and there's trouble. But the answer here, after the cry of despair and fear, is my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. There's this assurance now. There's this confidence. There's this faith that takes over the heart of the psalmist. The one who has made heaven and earth. The one who doesn't leave us here stranded. The one who doesn't set us on a journey and abandon us. The one who is all-powerful. God here in the context of the psalm, God in the context of our lives, does not worry. He does not fret. He does not fear. We look at life and we say, oh my goodness, how will we survive? And then when we come in our praying during those times, we say, God, how can you answer this prayer? How can you meet this need? This is really big. And we can trust you for this, but I'm not so sure that you can do this because this is really hard. Difficult things are difficult to pray for, but impossible things for us sometimes seem impossible to pray for. We just don't know, God, can you do this? And here's the reminder. This is the God who has spoken the universe, all the galaxies into existence with a word. The one who holds creation in his hand. The one who every single, not just planets and galaxies and every molecule, every atom, he controls. He speaks to day after day. century after century by the billions and trillions of numbers we couldn't even figure out, by this atom, this molecule, do this river, this stream, this ocean, this cloud, this mountain, this seed. And God is ordaining and directing every step. And so the psalmist says, this is the Creator who has spoken this into existence. And I come to Him with confidence. And so he's not saying, well, this is a tough one. I wasn't prepared for this problem. And it's not just that God has enough, you know, just enough to do it. Just enough to give you victory. Just enough strength. Just enough power. Just enough wisdom. You know, we'll take God with the points. You know, it's he's got the advantage, but you know, we, some of you who are into sports, you know that kind of scenario. And so we think he'll win, we're pretty sure, but let's give him a little bit of help, and maybe he can just edge out the devil, maybe just edge out the cancer, maybe he can just edge out my backslidden child. It's not our God. Our God is the one who speaks a word. Maker and creator of heaven and earth. And when he speaks, he wins. Jesus dealt with this in the New Testament with his disciples when they came to a place of fear. And Jesus prepares them after some years of ministry together with them. And he says, now I need you to know this is going to end pretty soon. And I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to die. And then I'm gone. And all they could think was, that's not going to work. We've tried a couple times to do this on our own. And we've not done well. And we really need you, you know, to fall back on. We need you to sustain. We need when we come up against the powers that are greater than us and we can't seem to have victory over, and Jesus, come off the mountain, come help us, sustain us, teach us, uphold us, encourage us. You just can't go. But he assured them, there's one who will come to help. And he speaks of the Holy Spirit as a comforter, which in the original language is, he's another of the same kind. He is me with you. I'm your helper. The triune God who created, let us create. And God breathed and spoke. And he says, I'm with you. And the Spirit of God is with you. And your needs are not greater than your help. So, pilgrim, steady feet. Your foot will not be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel won't slumber or sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. There's a little bit of a reference there to battle, where your right side would often be exposed. Typically, you carry your shield in your left hand, your sword in your right hand, if you're normal. And so you have this protection here, but you're exposed on your right side. And often the Bible speaks of that. God is there on the right side to protect. He's that shield. He's that shade. He says, the sun won't strike you by day, nor the moon by night. And especially if you were exposed in the wilderness and you're making journeys back from captivity, back to Canaan, or if you're going from the outer regions to Jerusalem for Passover, you're exposed to the elements. And again, once you're out on those journeys, the sun can smite you. And it's difficult. And so God brings a protection for that in the day. And he says, the moon shall not strike you at night. And we say, what in the world am I worried about the moon? maybe we should have preached this on Monday. We were waiting for this big solar eclipse, and we're going to see what's going on up there between the sun and the moon and how it's going to affect us this far north. And it'll be interesting to see that, how God works that. But here's this moon by night won't strike you. And there's not anything in the Bible that's just kind of thrown in there by accident. Now, we can wrestle with the science of this, but there's something involved here. And just a little bit of history, whether some of it's myth, a little bit of myth, some that I've pulled up even just a few minutes ago, I said, let me Google this and see what we find. Because I know that there's a mental part of this. So we have the word in English, lunatic. And lunatic has the root lunar, which connects us to the moon. And so it's believed, again, whether it's just myth or trying to come up with an explanation for crazy people, but it's believed that throughout mankind, and certainly back through the Psalms, that at these lunar effects have on the mind and on the psyche, so that if you're a crazy person, we call you a lunatic. You've been affected by the moon has struck you. It has smitten you. And you are crazy, and the so okay. Well, that may or may not may be a little bit subjective, but when I did some searching on this, I also found that there are a lot of studies by universities like Harvard, and some out of I believe Cambridge is where I found, and this was reported by the UK Daily Express. This goes back 11 years, but you'll find tons of them. And I don't have time. I've got four pages I just printed out. And basically what it says here, well, I'll read a portion. The full moon may cause people to suffer symptoms similar to those of a stroke, the Daily Express reports. It says that on nights with a full moon, the number of people treated for mystery, numbness, and coordination loss rises significantly. Study of about 7,200 people, 2% admitted to a stroke unit over a 14-year period, and so on, and it just goes on and on. Basically, what they're saying is, we're not sure exactly what's going on, but we're doing these studies, and when there's a full moon, it's not only making people mentally crazy, lunatics, but it's affecting them physically so that they're coming in here with symptoms of strokes. And this is through real serious studies. Even this, been hearing and over the years, doctors have told, when we had our babies way back when, they said, watch out for the full moons, because it affects the body, and women seem to kick off labor more during those times. And so there's something going on there, that whatever it is, but what the psalmist is trying to tell us is, whether it be the sun or the moon, whether it be in the day or the night, and no matter what comes to smite you, God is there. And God is your protector, and he is your keeper, and he is your defender. He'll keep you from evil. He'll keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. So, pilgrims, God has called us, like he's called his people, Israel. And he says, I want you to come. I want you to come to Jerusalem. Come to the feast. Come with your sacrifice. But I'm calling you to my presence. I have reserved a special time and a special place. There is a sacred moment that God had called them to very specifically on the calendar. They would say, this is when we're going to Jerusalem. This is the day that we'll start our journey. God has called us. It is a sacred moment, and we will go, and we will worship, and we will sacrifice, and we will feast, and we will rejoice, and we'll sing songs going, and we'll sing songs coming. There is a sacred place God reserved for them, and there is a sacred place God has reserved for us. And that's not a particular church or even a particular camp. But for us, it's here and it's now. There may be some people in a camp in Africa today, and for them, it's there and now. And some may be in China or wherever in the world God has called, but for us, it's here. And he says, this is a moment that I've called you to worship. This is a moment I've called you to my presence. It is a sacred place and a sacred time, and I have a plan and I have a purpose. And so we come. And Lord, I pray that you would just take this time, these hours and just these few days that you have called us to come to this holy place, not because it's pilgrim camp, but because you're here, and where you are is holy. And you've called us, some from far, and we have come. And there is a longing in our heart, like there was for this psalmist. I will look to the hills. I want to be there. I long to be back in Jerusalem. I long to be back in the presence of God. I long to be in that place of worship and join together with the congregation, singing our praise to God. And so, Lord, we come. And I pray that we would sense your holy presence in our midst. And Lord, we'll come with sacrifice. We'll come with rejoicing. We'll come with mourning and grieving. And we'll come with celebrating and with peace and with praise. But we come. And we know, Lord, as we come, we will not leave disappointed. So have your way these days, Lord, we pray, for your name's sake. Amen. Amen. Hymn number 414 will close tonight, and let's stand. I know this song may not be completely in context, but it'll work. 414.
Sweet accord, and us surround the throne. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your name. Glory to our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. I will look to the hills from whence my help comes. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Dismiss them. Boathouse is open. So maybe we'll see you down there. Have a great night.